down to Huntsville the other day, and as we went to Montego, we were listening to the radio and got the first part of something that was being said over WMBW. We couldn't hear more than the first part because it seems when you get down toward the decline there on the mountain cuts off the radio. So we only heard the first part. But it reminded me of a subject, and I thought I would like to speak to you on that subject this morning. Now, those of you who were here when some time ago I was speaking on the reason why we in Cumberland Bible Chapel meet as we do, and not like other churches round about us, may remember that some of the things I want to say this morning I said then. But repetition is always valuable when you're trying to teach any subject, whatever, whatsoever it may be. And Alice and I were saying this just this week, you know, when we people, of course they're all subject to the same thing, when we get certain ideas and impressions in our minds, it takes dynamite to get them out and to give us to realize that some of our ideas and some of our usages are wrong. Now, what I want to speak about this morning is the church. What is the church? And I'd like to think of a lot of the false ideas that go around about as to what the church is. Because the world around about us, of course, has no idea whatsoever what the scripture teaches. And a lot of things are used, taken up by people of the world, which they hear Christians say, and they use them in a totally different sense. For instance, you take this word, born again. We've often spoken of how that is misused by writers of the world today. A person may change his mind regarding a certain thing. Let's say he is a Republican, and he changes his mind and becomes a Democrat. Somebody is very likely to say he has been born again and he hasn't done any such thing. He just changed his mind about certain things. And then, some time ago, you know, I subscribed to this magazine of Buckley's, William Buckley, and I like it because he gives a very good survey of political conditions. And of course he's a conservative, and I hope that we're all conservative in our thinking. But some time ago in this magazine he spoke about continuing its publication for the salvation of souls. I was very much struck with the phrase, and I wrote to him asking whether he knew what that word meant, and told him that I was engaged in the business of saving souls, and I knew what it meant, but I wondered if he did. Of course, he never answered my letter. I suppose the secretary said, this is a crackpot, and threw it in the wastebasket. Well, anyway, that is another thing that is misused. And this word church is very much misunderstood and misused, as we'll notice as we go along. First turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 2. And this also is a passage that we have read before, but it's pertinent to what I want to say this morning. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word, this is of course after the discourse which Peter had pronounced on the day of Pentecost, explaining what the coming of the Holy Spirit upon believers really meant. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, And in the breaking of bread, that article should be there, by the way. And in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers, and faith and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now go down to verse 36. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat, that is their food, with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Please notice that the Lord added to the church. Now turn with me please to chapter 15 of this same book, and we'll read one verse in that chapter. Chapter 15 and verse, well, we begin with verse 13 just to get the connection. We'll need to notice how or why this was pronounced, because that would take too much time. But then we'll notice verse 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Now let's just bear in mind these verses, and let's consider some of the misuses of this word church. Because when the people of the world use the word church, they do not use it in its right connection. And let's get this in our minds, that popular usages, popular understandings of terms regarding the terms that we find in Scripture are often or almost always wrong. Because as we've noticed, people of the world have no idea what the Scriptures teach, and they see them, these words, and apply them in totally different ways from the way in which we find them in the Scriptures. And that is true of this word church. Now very often you hear it said, the church does so-and-so, said by people who don't know what the church is. And you heard people say, undoubtedly, there are too many hypocrites in the church, therefore they don't want to become Christians. Of course, that's just an excuse. It's not a reason. The real reason is they don't want to repent of their sins. And one excuse is as good as another. So they say there are too many hypocrites in the church. I remember Billy Sunday saying one day in connection with that, okay, brother, there's room for one more. Come in. And that's true. There are too many hypocrites in religious circles. And there are too many people who pretend to be what they're not. We have to agree to that. But when people speak of the church in that connection, they simply don't know what they're talking about. There are many religious professors who know nothing about the life which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And their lives from day to day show it. And they do give a bad testimony to those who really do know the Lord and want to follow him. Very often some clergymen or clergymen in certain positions will say certain things, and the people are there will say, oh, the church says so-and-so. And actually the church doesn't say any such thing. Or the church does so-and-so, and the church doesn't do any such thing. That is the church of which the Bible speaks. So let's get it in our mind what the church is according to the Bible. It's one of the things we want to go into this morning. So there's that general term, the way it is misused by people today. Now we already noticed, and I want to say it again this morning, another use of that word church. For instance, people will ask you where the Baptist church is, and they'll point out a certain place where there is a building
which is called popularly the Baptist Church. Now the word is never used in scripture of a building. In fact, in the early days of the Christian Church, as we use that term, the Christians did not meet in a special building. There were no such things as those buildings that we call today churches. The assemblies of believers used to meet in private homes. They have no other buildings of their own. Buildings that came to be called churches were later developments. We find in the epistle to Philemon, for instance, that Paul refers to the church which is in his house, not meaning the building, but the people that used to gather there. That was the church. And then, of course, we hear today this, which is very popular, and I don't suppose we'll ever be able to think differently from this popular way of talking about the Baptist Church, or the Presbyterian Church, or the Methodist Church, or the Catholic Church. And the Bible doesn't know anything whatever about anything like that. See, I'm going to go into details as to how these things develop, but anyway, these are all misuses of the term. Now, we're so used to these things that, as I said, we may find it very difficult for these to register in our minds as to how these things are really misuses. And so this morning, I want to think of what the church really is. And possibly, next week, we can follow on the same theme and think of some of the figures of speech, the pictures that are used in the New Testament to describe the church. Now, you know, one name that is very common in this district, particularly here in the South, is a certain denomination that calls itself the Church of Christ. Well, now that is a scriptural term, but it is not referred in the scripture to any one body of Christians as distinct from some other body. We'll think of that too in a little while. Now what about this word church? Where does it come from anyway? Well, it's a very, very interesting thing that this word church was not originally an English word at all. It comes from a Greek word which is used only twice in the New Testament. And it comes from the word meaning Lord. It's used once in 1 Corinthians where Paul writes about the Lord's Supper. And that word Lord's is a translation of the Greek word from which we get the English word church. And it occurs once in the first chapter of Revelation, where the writer of Revelation speaks about his being in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And that is the same word. And those are the two only times that we find this word in the Scriptures. And both of them mean that which belongs to the Lord. Now you can see right away, before we go on and think what the church really is, how that word can be misused. For instance, there are bodies today that have taken over that term church, and they use it referring to themselves as a body, and it's very evident from some of the things that they teach and some of the things that they do that they are not the Lord's people at all. For instance, they don't even have a church of Satan worshippers. I suppose you know that in California today there is a church of Satan. People who actually say they worship Satan. And they've taken that word church and applied it to themselves. Well, now it's quite evident that if they're worshipping Satan, they can't belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Satan and the Lord Jesus have nothing whatever in common. Satan is the enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hates him. He does everything he can to keep people from coming to the Lord Jesus and putting their trust in him and being saved. He gets them interested in sports. He gets them addicted to television. And he gets them occupied with this, that, and the other thing. Anything to keep them from thinking about Christ. In one of the parables which the Lord Jesus gave, the parable of the sower, he spoke about the sower going out and sowing the seed broadcast, and of course some of it would fall on the hard, beaten path that ran alongside the field, and the birds of the air would come and eat it up, and of course it produced nothing. And the Lord says, that is typical of the way Satan comes and takes the word out of the hearts of people to keep them from thinking about it. He gets them occupied with something else. Now that's going a little off the track. But the idea is that these Satan worshippers refer to themselves as a church. And that word church really means belonging to the Lord. And they don't belong to the Lord. And there are many people today who have reverend and DD after their names, and it's quite evident from the things they say they don't belong to the Lord Jesus. There are people today who are teaching that Christ is not God. He's just a man, a very good teacher. And when it comes to speaking about how he died on the cross for our sins, they scout that and call it a butcher shop theology. And it's quite evident that they do not belong to the Lord. For no one who denies the deity of Christ or who denies his saving work on the cross of Calvary could ever pretend to belong to the Lord. The only way that one can come and belong to the Lord is by acknowledging his sin, acknowledging his need of a Savior, and acknowledging the work that the Lord Jesus did on the cross, and acknowledging the fact that he rose from the dead, and then coming and bowing the knee in submission to him as Lord. And one who hasn't done that doesn't belong to the Lord. And people who haven't done that can't call themselves honestly a church. That's just the word is being misused today. Now, let me give you a little definition which I have copied from someone else, and it runs like this. I think it is a quotation from someone else. I don't think it's my own by any means. The word church is used in our authorized version of the mystical body, and this is one of the figures that we'll think about next week, the Lord willing. The word church is used in our authorized version of the mystical body of all believers, of all ages, of all nations, who have really repented of their sins and have submitted to Christ as Lord of their lives. Where whosoever, wherever found in the New Testament, the word church has no reference to a building, to an altar denomination, but to the people. Now let's think what that word means, really. We have it, a transliteration of it, in our English language when we refer to ecclesiastical things. The word is, just to transliterate, the word is ecclesia. And it comes from a verb which means to call out. For instance, it was used in ordinary society in the times of the New Testament to denote an assembly of people of a city who had been called together for some specific purpose. Now that's why we, who meet as we do and know the misuse of that term popularly, we like the word assembly. It denotes, the word in the New Testament denotes, now you remember that word we noticed in Acts chapter 15? James is saying that Peter had told them how, at the beginning, God had visited the Gentiles to take out from among the Gentiles a people for his name. Now that is what God is doing today. The word of God has been carried to all the countries of the world. And by the way, I hope that you and I who live in this country will realize what a tremendous privilege has been given to us here in the United States to be able to hear the word of God preached to nobody to tell us to shut up. Or nobody to forbid us to gather. There have been times and there are places today where people, in order to hear the word of God, have to go out into the forest someplace where they can be present and not likely to be arrested because they're listening to God's word. You and I have a tremendous privilege today in that. And wherever the word of God is preached, God is speaking to the people of the nations, calling them to put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and gathering them out of the nations to be a people for his own possession. That's what that word means, a people for his name. A people on whom he can set his name and say, these are mine. The Lord. That's what a church is. Well, God is calling out from among men today, and not only from among the Gentiles, but also from among the Jews and all the races, the peoples and kindreds and tongues of this world, as we read in the book of Revelation. God is calling out from them, separating from them, a people who shall belong to him because he has bought them. And they have acknowledged his ownership. Now that is what the church is. Where is that church to be found? Well, thank God, it's not any one body. That is, as people mover the different bodies of believers. I referred to the Baptist Church. Thank God in the Baptist Church there are many people who are really members of the true church. Because they have repented of their sins, they have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, they've acknowledged him as Lord of their lives, and God has given them eternal life, and they belong to the church. They don't belong to the church because they belong to a Baptist church. They belong to the church because they belong to Christ. You can go into Presbyterian churches and find people who belong to the church. Not that they belong to the Presbyterian church, they belong to the only church that God doesn't know anything about. That's the church of which he speaks in the New Testament. You can go to Methodist churches and you can find people who belong to the true church. And also you'll find a lot who don't. Well, they become church members. Don't they belong to church? No, they don't. Because you don't become a member of the real church by joining a church here on earth. You become a member of the real church when you fulfill the conditions and God makes you a member of the church. Now we notice that that close of chapter 2 of Acts, the Lord was adding, and that is in the imperfect tense, the Lord was adding to the church day by day such as were being saved. And only those who have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ belong to the church. That's the point. Angola, the Portuguese, being of course Catholics, nominally so at least, always referred to a certain class of people called saints. And they believed in the saints. Some of them prayed to the saints and all this kind of thing. I remember telling some of them one time, I said, "You want to see some saints come down to mission? I'll show you some." Because everybody who has been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ has been called out of the world, separated from the world, belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why he's called a saint. He's been set apart by God to belong to him. Now the question is, and it very often arises, where is that church to be found? I think we've already anticipated that in speaking of this matter of the church. Where is the church to be found? Well, you can't point to any one group of Christians and say that is the church. That's a mistake a lot of people are making, as we've already noticed, in our own area here. But in every body you will find a great many who belong to the church and probably a great many who don't. You know, remarkable thing, I was converted in the city of Jackson, Michigan in a congregational church. And when I tell people that I was converted in a congregational church, some people open their mouth because you won't get converted in very many congregational churches today. Congregational church is very largely modernistic and Unitarian. That is, they believe in God the Father, but they don't believe the Lord Jesus is really God at all. And they don't preach the gospel. And they call themselves a congregational church, but they're not the church at all. They don't belong to the Lord. And that's the way you find it all over the world. Churches, so-called, that aren't really churches at all. That is, they don't belong to the Lord. They don't preach his word. They don't bring men to repentance and faith in Christ. They get people to join their body. And very many of these are just nothing more or less than social clubs. Where people come together and go through certain forms. Of course, when there's a church supper, then the whole church, so-called, will gather, but they won't gather at other times. Sometimes you see that even in places where there are real churches. Anyway, this church, the church of which the Bible speaks, is known only to God. And some people will say, "Well, what's the name of this church?" Well, we can think of many names that it has. We think of some of them perhaps next week, the Lord willing. One of them is the Church of Christ. But again, I say that doesn't refer to denomination. That refers to the whole group, all down through the ages, right up to the time when the Lord shall come, of those who put their trust in Christ and have been born of God and belong to him, bought with his own precious blood. And so this comes now, we come now to the final question, because I've noticed if I carry on too long, these folks in the next room begin to get a little nervous. We've already anticipated this too. How can you join the true church? You can't. You can't do it. Well, how do you become a member of the church? You have to get born into it. You realize that? I can speak to a man on the street or in the field or shop, wherever I meet him, and I can point that man to the Lord Jesus Christ and tell him how he can be saved. And if he listens to the word which I seek to give to him and truly repents of his sin and submits to Christ his Lord, that instant he becomes a member of the church, and the Lord adds him to his church. And they may not be a church member at all, as far as the people of the world are concerned. Now, it's a good idea for a man like that, of course, who really does put his trust in the Lord. In fact, may I say this, it is almost incumbent upon a person like that to seek out people who really belong to the Lord, who really are a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and associate with them in their fellowship. And may I say this again, friends, not associate with them in their fellowship only on one meeting a week. This go to church once on Sunday is the curse of believers in this country. Better go once, of course, than not go at all. But the ideal is this, and this also is spoken about before, but I want to speak about it again. Those who were really added to the church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers. They don't come out just once on Sunday, but belonging to the Lord, they want to associate constantly with the Lord's people. You know, there's one very discouraging thing sometimes about trying to teach the Lord's people the things that are in the Scriptures, to find a lot of them don't have an appetite for it. I remember once I was called to take a series of meetings in Boulder, Colorado. Lovely assembly there. I had a very happy fellowship with them. But you know, one of the things they said to me at that time was this. You know, it's a bit discouraging. People say, we ought to have more teaching here in the assembly. So we seldom call a teacher to come and take a series of meetings. And the people who complain don't turn out to listen to the teaching. Isn't that strange? And it is, can be, very discouraging indeed. Now, before I close, let me say this. Those evenings, we are trying to teach the things that are in the Scriptures. And we find a lot of people who just don't want to come and listen to the teaching. Now, why? They'll have to answer to the Lord. But this is something to think about. When Christ joins an individual to his church, he expects that individual to associate with others who are members of his church and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you can tell me how a Christian can grow without listening to the teaching of the Word, I don't believe you can. Any more than a child can grow who refuses to eat. You know, this is a disease, by the way, some children get. You probably have heard of it. They refuse to eat. Now they just fade away, and if they can't be cured of that refusal, they die of starvation. And you know that's happening to a lot of Christians today. They are weak because they don't eat. They don't study the Bible by themselves, and they don't come when they're taught, when there is a meeting to teach them concerning the Scriptures. Well, anyway, let's close with this. The church, the church, is composed of people who have submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and belong to Him. And they will want to associate with others of like mind. Shall we pray?